It's always good to be with you, and this time's no exception. We've had lovely and kind hospitality today from Mrs. Sylvia Denton and from Mr. and Mrs. Phil Glover. And we do rejoice at you here, and we praise God for you, trust you'll continue walking with him and being a testimony to his grace. Now tonight, our text is in the New Testament scripture that we read, Matthew chapter 15, Matthew chapter 15, and verse 22. Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. Last week I spoke on the woman that nearly didn't come. That's the woman that touched the hem of Christ's garment. She was such a timid, hesitant, nervous kind of person, as far as we can tell from the scriptural record. Matthew says that she came behind. And when Mark gives his account of it, he says she came behind. And when Luke gives his account of it, he says she came behind. Seemingly, she was the woman that nearly didn't come. Our subject tonight is the woman that wouldn't go away. And it shows us something of the difference in temperament and also the difference in how our Lord Jesus Christ deals with people. This woman in the passage here tonight, she comes and makes a formal request. The woman who touched the hem of Christ's garment, she didn't say anything, but she made this physical approach and said, if I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be healed. And then I read just yesterday of the lady that was bowed in two, and she'd been like that for 18 years. And as far as we can tell, she didn't say anything. And she didn't do anything. But our Lord Jesus just said to her, woman, be healed. And she was healed immediately. So sometimes we have timid people, and sometimes we have emboldened people, and sometimes we have people we don't know what they're like, but Jesus just heals them, deals with them. Now as we come to this passage of Scripture tonight, I want you to see, in this woman that wouldn't go away, she's a woman to stand by. And as I consider my spiritual experience, I want to stand with this woman, and I want to be like her, and I want to make my approach to Christ such that I won't go away until he's done for me what I need. And this woman was a woman of great faith, and in this passage, you know, there's something for everybody. Maybe you're here tonight and you're a backslider. God have mercy upon you. You probably didn't know, but there's nothing to backslide to. I wouldn't be backsliding if I were you. I thought you'd been in the world. I thought you'd tasted it. And I thought you'd come out of it once. What are you doing going back into the world? To what the Apostle Paul calls the beggarly elements. Well, if you're a backslider, I'd say you come tonight and stand with this woman. And don't move until you get from Christ what he can give. Maybe you're unsaved. You've never become a real Christian. You go to church, but you've not been saved. You've not been born again. And sometimes you wonder what it's about. Well, I say to you, you come and stand with this woman. You can hold her hand if you like, as long as your wife doesn't know. You can stand with this woman And you can say, we are going to stand together. I believe you've come for what Christ gives. And I want what Christ gives. Oh, that there might be somebody here tonight. And you've got this desire in your heart. You want what Christ gives. Well, this woman wanted that. And then it may be that you're a Christian and you want to grow in grace. And you want to know a little more about what faith is. And trust. And zeal. Well, I say to you, come and stand with this woman. And she will do you good in her example, seeking after Christ and what she needs. Now, the first thing I would have you notice is this, that she had an unlikely background. Maybe that's you. She was what you might call an unusual customer. Nearly all the people our Lord Jesus Christ dealt with were Jews. But this woman, she wasn't a Jew, she was a Canaanite. She was an idol worshipper. And she was one of those people, sad to say, they were despised by the Jews. But in their turn, they despised the Jews. And there was no love lost between them. So she comes out of Canaan, and she comes with her background and idolatry. And I say that she had an unlikely background. Now, maybe that's you tonight. Maybe you say, well, I'm not a likely person to be a Christian. In fact, I'm unlikely. And maybe for a number of reasons. Maybe you didn't have a Christian family. Maybe you haven't attended very often a Christian church. Well, not a gospel church. Maybe these things are somewhat strange to you, and like they would be to the woman. She wouldn't have known a great deal about how the disciples had been brought up with their Jewish background and all the Old Testament and so forth. She would have had none of that. Maybe when you hear Christians talk, you feel out of it. It's just not your world. Oh, tonight, that you may come with this woman of an unlikely background, and you may say, well, I'm not really a likely person, but I'm going to stand with this woman. I'm going to see here what goes on. Now, you know, she'd heard of Jesus. We don't know how she heard of Jesus, but somehow she heard of him. It's a good thing, isn't it, when we hear of Jesus. We were hearing today of somebody who's been a member of this church for many years. When he was 5 years of age, one of the elders of this church knocked on his door and invited him to Sunday school. No Christian family, no background, an unlikely little lad, no doubt. But he was invited, and he heard about Jesus. How did you first hear about Jesus? I can't remember. I was brought up in a Christian home, and I suppose when I was younger than I ever imagined I was, I suppose my parents told me about the Lord Jesus Christ. Who first told you? Who first told you? I wonder who told this woman. Maybe she had this child, and perhaps other people had children, and when the children are ill, sometimes the parents feel it as much as the child, and sometimes more, don't they? And maybe somebody said to her, have you ever heard of Jesus? Jesus? What would that have to do with me? Well, and then they began to tell her about Jesus. And she began to have some kind of interest. And she came. And by the time she came, she was already believing that he was the hope of Israel, because she calls him, O Lord, thou son of David, this messianic title. How did she know that? Somebody must have told her more about Jesus than just his name. And so she came, and she determined that her need was going to be met. And that's the way to come to Jesus. He meets needs. He deals with people that have sorrows and trials and afflictions. And this woman came. And she wasn't going to go away. Well, do you have a sense of need? I trust you do. We're all needy people, you know. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all needy people. We're all on our way to a lost eternity unless Jesus Christ does something for us. Oh, that you are aware of your need. That the Spirit of God has shown you the nature of sin and how God hates it and God cannot stand it and God is going to judge it. But there's a remedy. There's a remedy. Bring your need to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the second thing is that she didn't only have an unlikely background, but she had a domestic crisis. What's it like in your home? What's it like in your family? I've no doubt that in this congregation tonight, we could all tell stories of family crisis and family problems and family heartbreaks. Well, this woman's domestic crisis was an ill child. We have a national problem of domestic crisis. A national plague of homes that are broken, and if not broken, are broken-hearted. A national plague. Our homes are anything than what they should be. Well, sometimes it's for a bad reason, sometimes it's a good reason, and sometimes it's illness. And so it was here with this woman. She has this ill child, and she was at her wit's end. But she'd heard about Jesus. Now, did she say when she heard about Jesus, did she say, well, not now? Not now. That's the old devil's language. Not now. I mean, I can't go now because look at my circumstances. She may have been urged to go by her friends who knew about our Lord Jesus Christ. But she may have said, well, I can't go. I've got a sick child. I'll go when the child is better. Oh, says her friend, the child may not be better. You'll have to get to Jesus. You'll have to get to Jesus. If we turn from God, where will we go? The Apostle Peter, he said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Jesus Christ deals with matters eternal and to do with the soul and with the body. Now note this. She didn't make her child a reason for not coming. She made her child the very reason for her coming. The devil says, not now. But you know, it's never right. It's never right in spiritual matters to wait for the right time. Because the Bible says now. What a big word that is. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Now. When should you become a Christian? Now. When should you ask God to forgive you your sins? Now. When should you be born again? Now. When should you be converted? Now. Oh, you know, says somebody, I'll think about this. I wouldn't do that if I were you. No, I wouldn't. I'd come to Christ now. You know, the devil will get you to think about it. He'll get you to talk about it. He'll get you to read about it. As long as you don't come to Christ. Maybe some of you have been thinking about becoming a Christian. Maybe you've been thinking some while. And you say, well, one of these Sunday nights, I'm going to come to Christ. I'm going to become a Christian. And then that old serpent whispers in your ear, not now, not tonight. Hey, look all what you've got in your life. I mean, look at that problem you've got at home. You've got to sort that out first. Nothing. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And so here you are. Here you are, and maybe you've got some kind of, if it's not a domestic crisis, you've got some crisis. You've got some something that the devil has put before you to keep you from Christ tonight, to keep you from salvation tonight. Oh, come and stand with this woman. You see her? Come and stand with this woman. She's come to Christ to have her need met. And she's come to the best place in this wide world. Now, thirdly, she had something else. Not only did she have an unlikely background and a domestic crisis, but she had a silent God. A silent God. And maybe you're here tonight and you've got a silent God. Why, we are told here in the scriptures that she said, "Oh Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." Could Jesus have healed that child there and then? Of course he could. What does it say? "Oh Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." But he answered her, not a word. Not a word. Not a word. I mean, we were astonished at this, aren't we? You went to the doctor and you said, "Well, now I've had this terrible pain in my head. I don't know what to do with it." And you go home and your friends at home, they say, "Well, what did the doctor say?" He never said a word. Well, that would be a surprise, wouldn't it? That would be a surprise. Well, here, he answered her. Not a word. Not a word. And sometimes when we pray, there's no word. There's no word. God has many reasons for it, and our Lord Jesus Christ had a reason for it here. But she had to deal with this. A silent God. And the devil said, "I think it's about time you went home. All that you've heard, obviously, it's a lot of rubbish. You better get home to that child. He's not saying anything to you." She stood exactly where she was. She's not going to move. She's got a silent Jesus Christ. She's asked for help and he doesn't speak. And she doesn't move. We've got to be like that. My dear friend, you can't dictate to God. You can't tell God what to do and when to do it. God is under no obligation to us anyway. How long have you kept God waiting? Years and years, some of you. Why, we spoke this morning, did we not, about older young people and middle-aged, and we spoke about elderly, and some of you are in those categories, and you haven't come to Christ yet, and when you do come, you expect him to jump immediately and all. Oh, just a minute. He answered her, not a word. Sometimes you've got to wait. I waited for the Lord my God, and patiently did bear. I waited. Well, sometimes we find illustrations of this, and there's a number in Pilgrim's Progress. John Bunyan knew something about a silent God, and he has a number of instances in the Pilgrim's Progress where people come and they knock, and they knock, and they knock. There's no answer. But they keep knocking. They keep knocking. Why, the old Puritan said, we're knocking, and we're not getting an answer. But he said, we know we're at the right door. We know we're at the right door. Jesus said, "I am the door. I am the door. Knock. And if he doesn't answer and if he doesn't speak, you stand with that woman. Don't you move. There's nowhere else to go. Nobody in this wide world is offering to save you except Jesus Christ. So you'd better stand right there. Stand with this woman." A silent God. The woman is showing some of us what we have missed by not waiting upon God. And because we've left off asking. And some have got tired. Because God didn't come running at our first knock, we went home. How many say, oh, I've tried it. I've tried it and it didn't work. Well, I say to you, you'd better try it again. Because there's nowhere else to go. No religion in this world has got a savior. None of them. They haven't got a savior. They've got all kinds of prophets and wise men and all the rest of it that'll give you advice and tell you how to live. But not one of them is a savior. Stand with this woman. There's salvation in no other. No other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. No other name. No other name. No other name. I preach Christ tonight, the only Savior of sinners. Come and stand with this woman. Stand until Christ meets your need. She had an unlikely background, and she had a domestic crisis, and she had a silent God. And fourthly, she had the heartless disciples. She had the heartless disciples. Verse 23. His disciples came and besought him, saying, it means they went on saying to Jesus, send her away, send her away. You can imagine. She's crying out to us. We're getting tired of this, they said to Jesus. Send her away. Go on. Clear off. And I can imagine this woman looking those 12 fellows in the eye and saying to them, and which one of you is going to make me? I've come to get what only Jesus Christ can give, and I'm standing here until I get it. That's the way to go to God. That's the way to go to God. He said, Lord, I'm here. I'm a needy soul. I need to be saved. I need to be made right. And I believe you're the only one that can do it. And I'm staying here. I'm staying here until you come. Oh, that's faith, determined faith, resolute faith, dogged faith. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, I wonder if she knew that he said this. I don't know, but she may have heard it, or somebody may have told her, that Jesus said, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Anything. 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 Ask it in my name, said our Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you will have heard of W.P. Nicholson, the great preacher. Saw a multitude of souls come to Christ, particularly in Northern Ireland. And I got an old cassette of Nicholson. The only sermon I've got on cassette of him. And he was preaching on those words, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Well, that's a little bit of a difficult one, you know. Well, I thought I'd love to hear what Nicholson has got to say about this. Well, by the time he finished, this is what he had to say about it. If you shall ask anything in my name, I'll do it. He said, that's it. That's what Jesus said, and that's what we've got to believe. Oh, but that's not my experience. That's what Jesus said. And this woman may have known that. And so she's standing. These heartless disciples were not going to put her off. Now, there are some present day disciples who are no better. They can freeze people out of churches. Have you ever been frozen out of a church? Somebody was on the telephone to me this week. They've got to move house and they're trying to find a church where they are on this way. So we'll either find an awful lot of nonsense, or we went to this church. They said, and the ministry was fine. It was good ministry. Good service. Enjoyed the service. Afterwards, it was the first time they were in the church. They said, not a soul spoke to us. I suppose they were busy, weren't they? They couldn't be, they hadn't got time to be talking to two newcomers that came into the church. I mean, they were busy to meet their friends and talk to their friends, and they had all sorts of things to share. You couldn't expect them to. You be careful here in this church. The bigger the church, the more difficult it is to know who visitors are. Sometimes the most needy person in town may come into your church. Who knows? Who knows? This Canaanite woman might be here tonight at the Heath. And how you deal with her or do not deal with her may determine whether or not she ever comes again. Pastor C, that great Chinese saint, he once said, a Christian is somebody who has got eyes everywhere. Have you got eyes everywhere? Are you looking for the Canaanite woman? Or are you busy just, I've got to see such a person after the service? Dear friends, don't be saying by your attitude, send her away. It doesn't matter. Somebody else will speak to her. Maybe they won't. Maybe they won't. Our young pastor in Stafford, Matthew Richer, he had quite a difficult background, and his parents sent him to doctors and social workers and psychiatrists and I don't know what else. And they didn't know what to do with him. I think he was about 20 at the time. And the lady psychiatrist said to him one day, not a Christian at all, the lady one, she said to him, have you ever tried church? She was desperate. So he said, church? What would I need to do that for? Well, she said, you never know. It may do something. All right, he said, I'll try it. So he lived in Buckinghamshire at the time. Not that that's got much to do with it, but there he was in the village where he lives, and he went along to the local church. Well, in the whole of the service, there were only about 7 or 8 people, he said. But anyway, when he went in, there was just this lady was sitting quite near to the back. So he said, I didn't know what to do when I went in. So he said, I'll go and sit with this lady. So he made his way into the pew. That's my husband's seat. Such people should be shot. And, you know, given liberty, I think I could almost do it. It's my husband's seat. Here is this Canaanite man, this needy fellow, going into a church. This is my husband's seat. Well, needless to say, he never went there again. But in the kind goodness of God, he went to another place the following week. And he heard the old, old story of a Savior's love. There was a visiting preacher, and he went to him afterwards, and he said, I think you've got what I want. Which church do you go to? Then he went to the church where the preacher was from and got gloriously saved. Now he's the pastor of our church. But you see, this Canaanite woman had to deal with these disciples. Send her away. She wasn't going. Maybe tonight, my dear friend, you'll say, I'm not going. I'm going to stand here. I'm going to stand with that woman. And I'm going to get saved by God's grace. Something else. Not only an unlikely background and a domestic crisis and a silent God and heartless disciples, but she had a surprising rebuff. When our Lord Jesus Christ does speak, he says to her, I've been sent to the Jews. I've been sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Well, of course, that was theologically correct. Romans chapter 1, to the Jew first. To the Jew first. And our Lord Jesus, as we have said, was dealing mainly with the Jews. What does she do? She says, she still stands. She still stands. And she says, Lord, help me. In verse 25, Lord, help me. And something else. Another rebuff. Jesus said, it's not good to take the children's bread and give it to dogs. I can imagine the disciples grinning and nodding to each other and saying, that'll finish her. That'll send her off. It's not right to give the children's bread to dogs. And the woman, is he calling me a dog? Is he calling me a dog? What did she do? This is what she did. She said, truth, Lord. It's true. You can call me anything. It's true. But even the crumbs fall off the table. Oh, what an encouragement she is to us. You see, God doesn't call you a dog, does he? God doesn't call you a dog. He calls you something far worse. He calls you a sinner. A conscious sinner. I never knew a dog that was a conscious sinner. I never knew a dog that consciously broke the Ten Commandments. But you have. And you need to be safe from it. You need to be forgiven. No matter what rebuff you appear to get, what our Lord Jesus is doing is drawing her on, drawing her on, drawing her on, drawing faith out, drawing faith out, drawing faith out. It's true, Lord. It's true. Lastly, she had a satisfying answer. A satisfying answer. Jesus now speaks the words that she has come to hear. The very words she'd come to hear. Oh, woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto you as you will. As you will, Jesus is saying to her, have what you want. Whatever you've come for, have it. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Stand with this woman, my friend, and don't move. Stand in your mind tonight and don't move until you get what Christ gives. I waited for the Lord my God, patiently did bear. At length to me he did incline my voice and cry to hear. He took me from the fearful pit and from the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock, establishing my way. Wait. Oh, God has great things for those who wait. Those who wait upon the Lord, says the prophet Isaiah, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. To whom are these words said? Those that wait upon God. Christians, take an example from this woman and wait upon God. And you who are sinners, come to Christ. Oh, the hymn writer says, Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, love, and power. You will seek me, and you shall find me. When you shall search for me, with all your heart, come to Christ tonight. Come to the cross tonight. Come and see Jesus Christ dying on the cross that sinners may be pardoned. Come and view him by faith and believe it is for you. Believe it. Stand with this woman. Stand with this woman till you get what your soul needs. We'll bow in prayer. To those of you who are Christians and you have a crisis, a temptation, a trial, some hardship, stand with this woman. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. To those of you who are not saved, will you stand with this woman? Will you wait on God until He meets your need? Pardons your sins, saves your soul. O Lord our God, we thank Thee for Thy word. We bless Thee for every example that is set before us. Help us tonight. Help us, O God, that faith may be granted to us, that we may stand until our need is met. Do hear us. Do hear us, dear Lord, and grant graciously to us as we bring our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.